Isn't it a blessing? Come as a community. We can share life together. We share good laughter, good fun. We share kind of happy moments and are struggling. That's all part of a blessing of being part of the faith community. Right? So let's be thankful as we listen to the message today as well, okay? Now, I'm hoping this works today because last week it didn't record properly, but... So just so you know, too, every week we do this, and I put up on the website as well. So if you ever want to, refresh yourself on anything, you can find it there, okay? What's our website address? Oh, that's the Korean one. TimothyPC.com. All right? So check out the website anytime, TimothyPC.com. Okay. So, when God created the world... and God created human beings. He did so with the intention for us to be in relationship with Him, right? I say this a lot. In this relationship, we're supposed to find what? Joy, fulfillment, peace, and meaning in life, right? But somewhere along the way, all sorts of things have kind of come in and they take over, don't they? So think about it. For example, for those of us who are at the retreat in the summer at the end of August, think back to it. Many of us really felt that loving presence of God, didn't we? What a wonderful moment and experience it was, right? I bet at the moment for a lot of us, it probably seemed like nothing else really mattered than to be close with God and feel that warm presence and embrace. And we felt that sense of community that kind of embodied the love of God, right? But yet, we came back to the city, went back to school, back to our regular lives, back to the stressful interactions with friends and peers, or worrying about like projects, homework, grades, going from one lesson or one place to another, right? I bet that that experience of intimacy we had with God sometimes feels kind of distant and far away, doesn't it? That's the real world that we live in, at times we feel affirmed in our identity and in our presence with God. Then at other moments we get plunged right back into our worries about school, my future. You see, today we had a good time to talk a little bit about future passions or plans, friends, all that. We also start listening to the voices around us, right? What others are telling us. We shared a little about that today too, whether it be parents, friends, media, people telling us what we should do, what we need to be, right? In order to be cool or acceptable or worthy. All these voices coming to tell us. And so what happens? We forget again our fundamental identity, that we are children of God that are loved by God, right? So, but my friends, this is why we're blessed here though, right? We get to come weekly and kind of remind ourselves, about that God loves me just as I am, right? Every week we come back, we're reminded of that. And as a community, we support and affirm that in one another again. And that's why, faith, it's never intended to be just me and God only. It's why faith was meant to be lived in community, okay? We need one another to support one another, to encourage one another. Ourselves going on this life of faith and affirming once again that, yes, I am God's beloved child and so are you. So you know what? Let's take a moment right now, okay? I want you to... look at the people around you, okay? Sincerely, too. Look at them in the eyes. I know, Heisi, you guys like to joke around, too, but that's fine, too. But also look sincerely in the eyes and tell that person, you are God's beloved child. So let's do that with one another. Right? That's right. Say that. You are God's beloved child. All right? Thank you, Jason. Thank you. So are you. Good. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that, okay? And we need to affirm that in each other, that I am God's beloved child, and you are God's beloved child. Okay? Sometimes it's so easy to forget that when people are telling us otherwise. And you know what? We need this kind of loving and affirming community more than ever. You know, I don't know where this world is going, you know? I don't know. After that election in the U.S., we hear reports here. Some people really feel a license now to kind of bully others or say what's really on their minds now, their opinions towards others, their inner fears or hatred, like it's getting voiced now. Particularly people of like, you know, minority groups and whatnot. So, you know, this is the kind of tone that I fear is sometimes creeping in. So, and we see leaders, leaders are supposed to look after everyone, right? But we see more and more leaders who are just looking after themselves, not taking care of the people that they're called to serve, right? And this is what Jeremiah was talking about in today's passage. So, we got a slide, right? Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Right? Meaning, like, they're not taking care of the people they're supposed to. And I see this happening when I look around us. Right? But as children of God, as followers of Jesus, we're not supposed to despair, because the prophet Jeremiah also has a message of hope. Next slide. Okay, right. Then I myself will gather the remnant of the flock out of all the lands where I've driven them, and I'll bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. Okay. Now this is all biblical language, right? He's talking about like the Israelites, they were actually conquered by a big power, right? Babylon, and they're exiled. So Jeremiah is kind of talking about them. But in our life too, what a hopeful message. God is going to gather the people, okay, who have been kind of scattered and who are lost, okay? God will raise up leaders, okay, to guide people in the way of love, justice, and compassion, okay? And so, my friends, this is my prayer for you, okay? That you will be a generation who will be a shepherd for others, okay? With this love, justice, and compassion, right? And we're talking about passion and excitement. Isn't this a much more exciting vision of life, right? To be shepherds for others, to be guides for others. Isn't that much more exciting vision than just to, I don't know, make lots of money for myself and be successful all for myself? Isn't the ability to work with others and lead them, that's such a more exciting and fulfilling vision of life? Don't you think? Right? This world loves power. You hear me say this a lot, right? We love to have it, and we love to exercise it in a way that makes us feel good, right? And as I said, power comes in many forms. At your age, you know, popularity is probably one common form of power. Among friends at school, if we're popular, then sometimes we love to decide who gets in and who's not, right? That's a very intoxicating power. Or if we felt kind of left out, then we want to get power in another way. For example, maybe, you know what, I'm going to get better grades, I'm going to be successful, go to a good school, make money, then I'll show them, right? So that's another way of trying to get power, just to show people that I'm more acceptable after all, right? My point is that this power, this is the way of the world, okay? And I brought this next verse up at the retreat to talk about the wide and narrow path, right? So the pursuit of power is the way of the wide path. So there we go. Right? Where Jesus is saying, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So this path of trying to get power and whatever, that's the wide road, okay? And many who take it. But really, at the end of the day, that leads to destruction of our souls, right? We forget what it is then to be human when we're just on that path. But it is harder to take the narrow path. Okay? And it's a narrow path, but this is the path we're called as children of God to take. Okay? And today's passage reveals this all the more. So as Christians, what do we believe, right? We believe that God came down to humanity in human form, right? Through Jesus Christ, right? And as the Son of God, Jesus, he was in sync and in tune with God's will, right? What God wanted for humanity, okay? And so we read today of his crucifixion on the cross, right? In Luke. He was hung there and executed with criminals, all right? So in today's terms, I mean, but in the United States, they still do. So what's the way they kill criminals now, right? Or like when they're on being executed? Lethal injection or something, right? Lethal injection, and then they kind of pass out and die, okay? And that's reserved for kind of the most atrocious crimes and most atrocious criminals. So this is what crucifixion was back in that day, okay? Jesus was hung between two criminals. And so think about that. What a shame, right? What a disgrace. You know, no wonder others are mocking him. You know, if you're truly the Messiah, why don't you save yourself, right? This guy, they're saying, this guy, he came proclaiming about the kingdom of God, but now he can't even save himself. How powerless, right? How weak that is, right? And yet, this is the Lord, like a weak God, right? So to the eyes of the world, though, that's not something to look up to or admire, right? And yet, what does the scripture say about this? So the next one. Yep. Through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through the blood of his cross. Okay, I'm going to leave that up there. God reconciled. Okay, what's reconciliation mean, right? Reconciliation, to bring together, right? What was separated, you bring together, right? God reconciled everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross. That shameful cross that I just talked about, right? That embarrassing cross, right? So through that cross, he made peace. By giving up his power, he made peace. Okay? My friends, to create peace in this world, okay, we must first be willing to either share or even give up our power. Okay? It's not an easy thing to do. So let me give you an example, a concrete one that you might be able to relate to. So, you know, you get into an argument or dispute with a friend, right? Your friend believes that you did or said something that would upset him or her, okay? But you know that's not the case. I didn't say anything about my friend, right? I didn't do anything. But because of this misunderstanding, this friend is now going around to your other friends and saying, oh, so-and-so did this or said this about me and said this about you. You know, like kind of making things up. This probably happened to you guys, right? And because of this now, like your other friends too now are looking at you a little suspiciously, right? Your reputation is starting to sink and your standing among your friends is starting to go down as well. This is very unjust, right? I don't know, this is kind of a common scenario that you guys have encountered or heard of, right? So what's the natural thing to do in this case, right? Natural thing to do is probably to seek and exercise some power. So that would be in the form of like talking to your other friends, banding them together, and just kind of like shunning that person, right? Or it might include convincing others to exclude that person. Or it might include exercising your right to confront this person with the truth first, saying, you're lying. Why are you doing this? Stop it. And if that person doesn't respond to that, then threaten other action, right? So, I mean, that's just kind of a practical common scenario. What's the solution to this problem? I don't want to provide like simple step-by-step answers, okay? But what I do want to provide are some principles, spiritual principles, all right? So first, we have to address our own feelings. So how is this making me feel, right? Are you just mad because that person's lying? Is it unjust? Or because other people are now starting to look at you suspiciously, are you starting now to question your own self-worth? So this goes back to our identity, okay? We have to always come back to God in prayer, okay? and ask that God affirm our identity, okay, as His beloved child, okay? Because no matter what others say or how others look at us, we have to remind ourselves how God sees us, okay? God loves us just as we are, okay? It doesn't matter what others say. Okay, so that's what self-esteem and self-confidence is all about. When I can stand securely knowing that, you know what? Others can think of me whatever they want, but I know how God loves me and God thinks of me because He's my creator, He's my father, and I'm acceptable. Okay, so that's what real security is, okay? Real confidence is, okay? Once we have that, then we can actually start looking at the other person, but not in a very angry or judgmental way, but in a way that we try to understand, why is that person acting that way? Like, what's beneath this, right? Is that person have their own insecurities, or what is it, right? When we have the sensitivity and insight, then we can think of a loving yet confident way to address the situation, okay? So one more principle I want to share too. Exercising power to overcome this injustice is not going to solve things, okay? Or it will not lead to true reconciliation, all right? You might win, like for a guy, like, you know, if a guy's like disrespecting me, the easiest thing to do, I just want to beat that guy down, right? Right? That's the way of the world. That's power. And trust me, I mean, when I'm on the road sometimes, you guys probably don't drive yet, most of you, right? Some of you guys do, but, oh man, I get, like, it's so unjust. I'm in my lane and, like, you know, there's a lot of traffic, so people are going to make a turn, and this car cuts right in front of me, right? Like, you weasel, man. Like, you got to wait your turn there, or, like, you know, and trying to sneak in. I get so upset, right? That's so unjust. You know, my natural side of me, the one that wants to exercise power, I want to go up to that person and say, yo, buddy, get back, right? So that's kind of our natural kind of response. But, you know, when we just try to exert our power over others, think of that never leads to true reconciliation or peace, okay? Like, I might win, but is winning really the end of the game, right? Reconciliation will never come by exercising raw power. Sometimes we have to be willing to give it up, okay? Give up our right, actually, to be right, okay? So that's a phrase I want you to remember. Sometimes we have to be willing to give up our right to be right, okay? Okay, and instead, just try to understand the feelings or motivations of the other person, okay? So maybe one approach you might take is, you know, approach that person and say, okay, look, I understand you're not happy with me. I'd like to understand what it is that I said or did to make you feel this way. Okay? So even if you know you're not responsible, see, that's a different approach, isn't it? The natural approach would be like, hey, why are you saying this about me? I didn't do nothing. What's wrong with you, right? But no, this is like, all right, look, you got beef with me? I just want to understand what it is. Okay? It's a very different kind of approach. It's a very hard approach to do. Okay? Let's be honest. Doing this or taking this kind of approach, it ain't easy, right? It's very difficult. It takes a very big person to do that. Okay, it takes someone who's very secure in themselves. Okay, so my friends, this is why I talk so much about identity. Okay, if we are secure and confident in our identity as God's child, then I won't be so swayed and motivated by what others think. Okay. I will then seek to follow God's ways, okay? And those are the ways of that narrow path, okay? It's not easy, but the narrow path is the way of love, of compassion, and a willingness to give up our power, okay? Doesn't mean being a doormat, okay? Because God wants us to love ourselves too, okay? So we're not like just letting them abuse us, but the root word is love, and not power, okay? Our power comes from God's love, okay? Our confidence in God's love for us gives us a different kind of power, okay? Not the power of the world, but this is the real power that can transform hearts and bring about reconciliation. You guys kind of know what I'm saying, right? Okay, so this is the kind of leadership that we need in this world, okay? A real leadership. With real power, not like the worldly power, but a power of love and understanding and security and confidence, right? Isn't that a much more exciting vision of life? This is the kind of leader that I would like us to be, okay? It's not an easy road or an easy path, But this is the only path that will lead to real peace and reconciliation in our peer group, in our school, our community, and eventually the world. Okay? So let's ask God for guidance and wisdom to have that kind of power. Okay? So...